Okay, the next step up, we get to the ideas, and then we get to the next step up is the monad, the monadic world. What is the monadic world? Got any idea? And there's one step up above this, the final step up in this, what we call the this the first cosmic plane. And it's called the divine plane. The divine plane is interesting. And you have to understand the divine plane before you can understand the plane of the monad. The divine plane is divine space. And you look at the stars at night, and we see space, and what do we see in that space? Points of light, right? Okay, in the divine space, the points of light are not stars, but what are they? No? Right, intelligences. So in the divine, in the beginning, there was just divine space. And in the divine space, the monads begin to materialize like stars or in the sky. And in the divine space is a point of light here, point of light here, point of light here. And one of those points of light was Susie over here. And all these points of light are reflections of the divine being. And so in the sphere of the monad is where we originated as far as our origin in this universe goes. Now, where we were before this universe is quite fascinating to contemplate. But our memories are limited to this universe. And to go beyond this universe, we would have to go to that point in divine space where we originated and go to the other side of that divine space. And what would be there? What would be there would be our past, a past eternity. If the scientists are right, let's say they are, that this universe is 14 billion years old, that would mean that in this divine space, the points that originated creation originated 14 billion years ago. Now, if the Hindus are right, it had been several trillion years ago, which means the scientists are way off. That maybe the Big Bang was just kind of a more of a localized thing. And there was a lot more to it than we can imagine. Also, it's possible there's a lot of illusion behind the scientific calculations. It's interesting, they say all the galaxies are moving apart from each other at equal speed, yet when we get close, we find the galaxies aren't really moving toward each other at all. I believe it's, if I remember right, it's Andromeda galaxy isn't moving away from us, but heading to us. Was it the Andromeda?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
going to collide with us in a few billion years. Okay. So when we look at the local galaxies, they're not moving away from each other. Some of them are moving toward each other. Yet when we look farther away, it appears that they're all moving away from each other at just equally almost. Just like it's like a balloon blowing up. You take a balloon and it blows up, and the surface of the balloon all separates. The elements of the balloon all separate equidistantly, just really evenly. And they say that our galaxy is expanding just like a balloon, and each galaxy is moving away from each other galaxy, except when we get close to each other, it doesn't seem to fit in. So maybe there's some illusion there. Maybe the Hindus are more right than the scientists. But however long it's been a long, long time. Now, also, another interesting fact is when we look in through the Hubble telescope back about 13 billion years ago, there are galaxies fully formed. And it's hard to believe a galaxy could be fully formed, you know, less than a billion years from creation. all the stars and the galaxies all came together. So my feeling is that the universe is a lot older than the scientists estimate.
They'll probably figure that out when they get bigger telescopes to see farther back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. They got some big ones coming online the next, they got another space telescope planned. And they have another type of
planets with the Kepler.
Yeah, right. So
planets, just like
online. JJ, there's this thing called blue shifting and
redshifting.
Yeah, and that is the Doppler effect of light.
Yeah.
And that's how they can measure.
Yeah.
Right. And one theory is that once you get so far away, is that the redshift is distorted. So some scientists say that our measurements of the beginning of the Big Bang are not accurate because distance distorts the redshift. So who knows? You know. So anyway, the universe is really old, a lot older than Blaine over there.
One theory is that, you know, on the very farthest distance, you have this extreme redshift, but in the future, it's going to go to a point where you won't be able to see it at all. And the term I heard used is that the very farthest galaxies will go over an event horizon while they will become invisible to us.
Yeah.
There's something like that. It's if space keeps expanding at the rate they think it's going to expand, it's almost can become a runaway effect and break away from gravity. And eventually, things could move faster than light, at which point they would wink out. You wouldn't be able to see them.
Right.
But you have to consider dark matter too.
Yeah. Dark matter, dark energy,
and dark energy.
Yeah.
And that filtering into the picture, it's like a renewing of the universe over the course of time. We don't know what that is made of.
Yeah.
We do know it's creative.
Yeah, it's interesting to contemplate. Now, but what's fascinating is to think of this divine space. Now, some people say there's only space when there's matter, because when you have matter, then you can have a distance. James is over there, say, 10 feet from me. So there's 10 feet of space. But suppose there was nothing, just nothing here at all. Okay? Is there still space? The answer is yes, there's still space. There's just not measurement. There's space with no measurement. When there's no form, there's still space. And in that space, in that divine space, creation materializes, and it materializes by reflections of God, which have existed from eternity. And these points are energized. It's like the stars. When a star is created, before the star comes in existence, there is a point that begins to be energized. And even scientists have this theory now. And they're catching up with metaphysical teachings. But there's a point that begins to be energized, and it draws matter to itself, and when it draws enough matter, it explodes into a star. So there's the point, which is you, has always been there, but a point occupies no space. But when you decide to occupy space, your intelligence energizes that point in the divine space, and then a light appears. And the beginning of light around you is the beginning of your creation in this particular universe. But it's not the beginning of you. When you energize that point, which is you, of intelligence, in that divine space, when it is energized, is your beginning here, but not your beginning. Where were you before then? Well, you've been asleep. We go through periods where we are asleep and awake. But the interesting part about being asleep is that wherever there is intelligence, there is activity. Intelligence always wants something to be going on, because what intelligence does not want is nothingness. It does not want nothingness. That is why when you even fall asleep and your body is completely inactive, Is something going on? Right, you enter the dream state, and you dream about all kinds of things. Even people that say they don't remember their dreams, most of them still dream, but they just don't remember. And many of us have many dreams that we don't remember. But our intelligence craves activity so much as that even when we're in the dream state, things are still happening. We're meeting, either being chased by a monster or chasing, looking for a one and only in the dream, or we're looking for achievement or recognition, or we're just doing something crazy in the dream. When I think back to some of the dreams I've had, it's amazing. I think, what in the world made my subconscious come up with that? You know, I can't even remember them. They're so crazy. But don't we all have really crazy dreams? Now, when we wake from this dream, we may think the same thing. We think, wow, that dream of that earth life, that was bizarre. And look how we had sex in that dream. I mean, we really have sex with our fingers there in this, this reality. I mean, it's funny how perhaps death has been called an awakening. So are we really awake here, or are we really more awake after we die? Which one is the true waking state? But I digress. We go back to the beginning.
I'll stick to this one for now.
We go back to the beginning, and before we surfaced as an intelligence through the motion and stirring of the power of our initial decision to manifest, we were not nothing. By our accounts here, we were in some type of dream state, but in the dream state, you're still not doing nothing. Now, we go forward in time. There will be a time when this universe will completely fold up and will go back to its source, and there will be nothing but divine space again. Will we be doing anything? What will we be doing? Will we have some type of existence? D.K. gives an interesting statement around this. He says that such a state, which is called in the East Pralaya, he says, it is not a state of nothingness, but it is a state which is hidden or esoteric. In other words, when everything is wrapped up and the universe unfolds, we will not be in a state of nothingness, but we'll be in a state which is hidden from us now. We cannot really perceive what it will be because it's hidden from our eyes, but it will not be nothingness. He does give some hints about what it is. It'll be a state where we absorb all the lessons we learn here. We'll go back there, and in the dream, in kind of a dream state where we're completely free from our bodies and the material side of existence, we will absorb everything that we've learned in every life that we've lived. We will absorb it, reflect upon it, and prepare for the next manifestation of the next universe. And then when we manifest again, we will have built in us the intelligence that we've gathered. The intelligence is never lost. Any growth in intelligence stays with us forever. So when this universe folds up and a new universe is created, we will manifest again. Now, we can't go back before our monad first existed in the divine space. We can't go back before that time that I know about anyway. But we can take the intelligence from our former existence and use it here. That's what we do. Because we have certain benefits of going back to past lives here. If when the time is right, and if it's important, your soul will reveal to you glimmers of a past life, if there's a lesson to be learned from it. But as the universe is completed, all the lessons are incorporated. And so the purpose of any memory of that existence is null and void. It's not necessary anymore. So that memory of the past universe is not necessary for us outside to realize that we were there and we gained intelligence. But the memory of this universe is essential.